The morning after the drowning in the hotel pool, Quillerin was roused from sleep by the ringing of the telephone. "Sorry to call so early," said a familiar voice, "but I need to see you about something." "Come on down," Quillerin said curtly. Then, grumbling to himself, he pressed the button on the computerized coffee maker, threw on some clothes, and ran a wet comb through his hair. His mind was on Nick Bamber, who had phoned so urgently. In Quillerin's book, Nick and Laurie were an admirable young couple. Nick was head engineer at the state prison. It had been their dream to own and operate a bed and breakfast. Thanks to a low-interest loan from the Klingenshorn Foundation, they had bought an old fishing lodge on Breakfast Island. Before they could open their inn, however, they found themselves involved in the wholesale commercialization of the primitive island. As Quillerin understood its history, some of the early castaways on this deserted shore turned to piracy in order to survive, luring other ships onto the rocks to be looted. Subsequent generations lived hauling nets in summer and living on salt-dried fish and wild rabbits in winter. Through the years, many islanders had moved to the mainland, but those who remained were independent and fiercely proud of their heritage. This much Quillerin had learned from Homer Tibbett, the Moose County historian. In the 1920s, according to Tibbett, affluent families from down below discovered the island. They built fishing lodges on the west beach. Then came the 1929 stock market crash, and suddenly there were no more yachts moored offshore, no gin and badminton parties on the terraces. Not until after World War II did descendants return to the family lodges to escape the stress of high-tech life. Nick Bamber walked to the barn. With his flashing black eyes roving about the interior, he said what he always said. "Man, what a B&B you could make out of this baby." It was an octagonal apple barn, well over 100 years old, with fieldstone foundation, shingle siding, and windows of various shapes and sizes. The interior was open to the roof. He poured mugs of coffee and ushered his guest into the lounge. Ordinarily, Nick radiated vitality. Today, he looked tired. To open the conversation on a comfortable note, Quillerin asked him, "Is your entire family on the island?" The young man recited in a monotone, "Jason is staying with my mother in Mooseville until school's out. I take him to the island for weekends. The two young ones are with Laurie at the inn. So are the cats. We have five now, one pregnant. The island is overrun with feral cats, so ours don't go out." "Well, can Laurie manage the inn and take care of two youngsters? She employs island women to help. How many rooms?" "Seven rooms, two suites, and five housekeeping cottages." Nick's terse replies reflected his nervousness. So Quillerin said, "You wanted to see me about something urgent." "Did you hear about the drowning last night?" "Well, only briefly on the air. What were the circumstances? Do you know?" "Well, he had been drinking in the hotel bar. They'll have to lock the pool gates after a certain hour or provide better security. But the worst thing was the food poisoning. Contaminated chicken brought in from the mainland." "Did the first incident affect business?" Quillerin asked.